Councilman Strong.
Yeah, Frieda, how many parking spaces are there?
Over 50.
Over 50. And that's an extremely congested area on the other side, because immediately across the street is both the Veterans Building and the Senior Center. And there's been kind of an unofficial promise to them of more parking, because they have such big programs now, and they've gotten so popular that some of the people are parking two blocks away and trying to get to their place, and some of them are parking illegally in the bike zone, bike paths, because they have no other place to park, because the only other parking is in Sherwood Park, and they're using all of that parking also. So is there any way to lower that cost by draining down toward this creek instead of making it impervious concrete?
So no, I mean, there, we have multiple things we're dealing with now. We're dealing with state regulations on stormwater and how it percolates into the soil. But moreover, we have Sherwood Well number 9 there, and we have certain requirements to deal with the stormwater when we're so close to a well site.
Oh, and you can't move that water then down to the creek, which is just across the street? No. Wow. All right. Thank you.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah. Frieda, it seems like when we first started, we were going to build some pickleball courts. Now we're building pickleball courts, 50 parking spots, a public restroom. Looking at the design, the only thing I can see to maybe reduce some costs is the angled parking on Via Ramona. If we eliminated that, that would certainly lower the cost a little bit, but not much, probably.
Yeah, I don't think so. Just as a reminder, this design went through multiple community input sessions, okay, where they had the community, including the pickleball club, had an opportunity to comment. It was endorsed by Parks and Rec Advisory Committee and council. I think the parking on the street is the least of our problems. It's the project as a whole is really where we're at.
So my secondary question on that, and I don't know if you or Angelica, but I can answer this, but that's also going to provide parking for the rest of the use of this park on the other activities.
It is a public lot, yes.
Yeah. So for all the soccer fields and everything else, and baseball fields. All right, those are my questions.
Councilman Belch.
Thank you. So I think this has already been discussed, but just to put it out in public, any thought given to reducing the number of courts at this time and or building this project in phases?
Phases would increase the cost because you would have multiple mobilizations as well as general conditions and other contracting costs that are absorbed in one project.
Right.
Reducing the number of courts, we originally had 8 on the plan. 7
right.
were ultimately approved because we want to accommodate any future development of youth baseball fields. You could reduce it further. It wouldn't be as useful to the community with fewer courts. And what has been expressed in terms of the popularity of pickleball and the use that
I don't disagree with that at all. I'm just wondering, the devil is in the details. If we
sure.
if we build what we can afford to build today, and we take a page out of Sacramento's book and we issue an IOU, we promise to pay that forward and build it down the road. Yes, it's going to be more, and yes, you'll have a lot more expense. I don't suppose we have any kind of a guess as to what that additional expense might be.
No, and I just caution you that removing one court or two court is not going to get us to $1.2 million, what we have our budget.
Gotcha. Okay. I was just trying to exhaust all possibilities.
Yeah.
We need this. And we know that a brighter day will come, and the coffers will be full again, and we'll be able to do this. And I don't know whether delaying the entire project is not going to make anybody happy. I don't know if baking half of a loaf is going to make anybody happy either. So, I don't know, tough one. Thank you.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, So this is another comment or question for both you and Angelica. I know we're eventually going to go and remodel this park, you know, the Sherwood Park. I see this as the first step in that. And it's a community effort. It's not just for pickleball, because you got bathrooms, you got 50 parking spots. So it's a major step towards fixing this park to what the eventual desirability will be. So I think some of the costs is not just pickleball courts.
You're absolutely correct. So the restroom that is on the east side of the park now is, to put it delicately,
gone.
Not to our standard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it needs replacement desperately.
Unusable.
Yeah. So this would bring in a prefab restroom similar to, not as big as, but similar to the one that we flew in on the west side of the park.
Yeah.
It also, this park is very popular in the community for barbecues and other family gatherings. In fact, we learned during the public process that the apartments just on the other side of Oak Creek, they're not even allowed to have barbecues on their patio areas. So this park is very important to the community, and we are replacing the highly used barbecue pit that exists now with another one and some tables under shade for the community. So you're absolutely correct. It's not just for people.
One more question.
I was just going to agree with Frida and share that this is probably, as far as sports goes, our second most heavily used park in the city right now. Parking is already a big issue at this park.
Yeah, sure.
That's what led me to the next question. I was so focused on the pickleball courts and the little parking area. I just saw that you've got four baseball diamonds that are going to, is that down the road that you're thinking about?
That is simply to illustrate that when that portion of the project moves forward, we still have the space to construct those.
But you're going to take up all the parking over there?
On the west side?
No, I know. That's only 50 spaces. We're talking about the whole parking lot over here.
The master plan that was approved includes moving the parking elsewhere in the park.
Oh, okay. So this is... this is a plan for four baseball diamonds that'll overlap the tennis courts and the parking lot as it exists now.
As the approved master plan depicts, correct.
But that's somewhere
down
the road.
Yeah, several years ago, we got to execute the entire master plan. We had an estimate of about $9 million. We applied for a grant to execute it. We did not receive the grant. Now, given the current contracting environment, until the economics change, it would probably be more like $16 to $20 million, but we're far from being.
And reflective of playing out there years ago and knowing how much the parking gets taken up that exists now, if you're going to move the parking, would it have to be over in the whole entire open space that we look at right now?
The current master plan shows additional parking to expand the lot that we're proposing to build with the pickleball courts.
Okay.
Councilman Gregory.
And just to confirm, currently we have three baseball diamonds and two soccer fields operating off that park.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Three established.
There's three existing diamonds.
Yeah, there's a smaller one they put in the middle.
The community built one of them.
Right, right.
So we have three diamonds, and you have two full soccer fields already working.
Yeah, plus it's tennis courts, too.
And the need for a bathroom over here is intense, let me tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
I would know, because my kids are all, my grandkids are always needing the bathroom.
I have a question, Frida. You know, when the city puts out bid documents, it's always bothered me sometimes when we put out the engineer's estimate as a number. Isn't that pretty much common that we do give an engineer's estimate with the bid? You know, why do we not? I would think it's going to be on market, you know, whatever that bid comes back. It's not something, you know, me as a contractor, I see a number that the city's expecting. it might be lower, but I'm still going to bid in that range. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just thinking now with the fact that, you know, things are getting more expensive, and it all has to do with how many people are busy and there's not enough contractors to do the work, so the bids go up. But it's not so much the fact that, you know, things have escalated that much in 2 years, but what's our policy when we put out bid documents?
So I believe there's a requirement, in fact, in the code to put out the engineer's estimate. But I would say that the impact on the bids is questionable, because it really, as you state, it depends on the market.
Right.
We could have the lowest bid possible, the lowest engineer's estimate possible, and as you've seen in many of DDIS's projects, they come in way over that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has to do with the contracting environment and how much work they have, as you state, and what if they really want the job. We really need a contractor that wants the job, and then it'll come in lower. You know, as I said earlier, the $3.4 million, according to the architect, is conservative on purpose, because we don't want to have any surprises. And prices have been coming in a little lower lately,
mm-hmm.
so we're hopeful that it will be less than that.
Very good. Councilman Belcher.
Well, this is being bid at prevailing wage.
It has
to
be, yes.
Absolutely.
Right? If we put it out there, this right now we're being asked to authorize putting it out for bid.
Correct.
We don't have to build it if we don't get the proper or a bid that we can afford.
Right. You will see it again when it comes back.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm leaning towards it. We'll at least put it out there and
Absolutely.
Hope for the very, very best.
Yeah. Yeah. All we can do is ask.
Right.
And see. Okay, let's open up to the public. Anybody wishing to have any item on this to speak? Larry?
Good evening. I am Larry Werner. I am the pickleball ambassador for the Paso Robles region, and I promote pickleball. That's my job, in case you can't tell. Thank you for having this, and I'm so thankful to Frida, in particular, for her patience and perseverance. It's been a long road, and we're very happy to be here tonight. I also want to thank Angelica, who soon after her appointment to her position as Director of Recreation, asked me to meet with her to go over pickleball with her. I was very impressed with that. So I really appreciate the attention that we've been giving. Sorry it's taken so long. I appreciate the comments about how this is not just about pickleball, because it's going to provide other services for that area which are badly needed, like the senior center. So I think those are all good ideas. The number of people that are playing now has just gone through the roof, and I've been admonished for promoting the sport by the people who are sitting on the benches waiting to play, but it's my job, so mm-hmm. I do. The numbers of people are incredible. I'm seeing more and more city staff people out there in the evenings and on weekends, which is very encouraging to me. And just the numbers, so you know. And by the way, we also contribute financially to the city of Paso Robles. We give a third of the money that we make for our memberships and our tournaments to the city. So there's money coming in. So, and the other thing is we bring a lot of people from out of town. So the numbers of people in 2023, they're just during the club play, which is Monday through Saturday from 8:30 to 11:30. The number of people that sign in, which we require them to do, for 2023 was 12,224. That's over 1,000 people a month. And of those numbers, 1,394 are sign-ins from
outside.
Out of town, or you know, they're visitors. So those people, that's 11%, those people spend money in our hotels and our restaurants, so they're bringing money in. So it's very popular, it's going to get more popular, and I think we should move forward. The numbers are a little bit scary with the bids right now, and you know, it's just a scary time. But let's just wait and see what the bids are and then go from there. So I really appreciate your support.
I have a question for you, Larry. As an engineer in all your years, do you see any major issues with this project that could cause, you know, the bids to get out of line?
Not, I mean, I think Frieda's pretty much addressed the right issues, you know. The stormwater retention on any project,
yeah,
you know, these days is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting when the city has to deal with something that the private side always has to deal with, but they're in the same boat. So, all right, thank you for your information.
But thank you very much. It's been a long road, but I hope you help us across the bridge to the bids. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Anyone else from the public?
I have two callers online.
Okay.
First up is Jan Alvin.
Jan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Gosh, here I am again. I'm a little confused by this because in last night's budget talks, specifically you, Mayor Hammond, made the comment that this item was going to be disappointing for a lot of people because it was going to be set out to the year 2027 to 28. So I'm wondering why in 2024 we're going to put this out for bid if we're not even going to move forward on it for another 3 or 4 years. You're going to have to do it again. So that's one of my comments, is that why is this going out now? And secondly, when I think about all of the projects that this city needs to have done, the needs that the city has, the things that are lacking that come before council all the time, for me, on a personal level, pickleball would be the last thing in the world I would consider spending money on, especially $3.4 million on, and God knows in the year 2027 and 28, it's probably going to be $8 million by the time you get to that. And I'm saying, why are we going to do this when the city has so many other vital needs? I really object to that. And using the ARPA funds or COVID relief funds, which is what they got originally, I object to that. There are too many other needs in this city.
Very good. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Next is Linda George.
Linda, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Oh, my God, it sounds like a really great project, except let's keep in mind that the state is broke. The legislative analyst office said that what Gavin did with the $17 billion is smoke and mirrors. He really did not do anything for the $78 billion. The county is broke. We just heard earlier today that the county is spending $7.66 million on the homeless. And so as I'm listening to this project, you're speaking about $3 million and $2.5 million that's not even, we don't know where we're going to get that money from. So we need a roof. We need a carpet for the library. We're losing money on the paid parking. And I agree that there are far more important things that the city needs to concentrate on. Sherwood Park is nice. It looks great. But if you're going to crowd out the veterans for pickleball courts on behalf of veterans in this entire nation, I object. I think the veterans should be absolutely considered first in this project. If they need 50 spots, you give them 50 spots. No veteran should be walking two blocks to get to their event and the awesome activities that they're hosting. So that's my comment. I think it's an awesome concept. But with the state that the state is in, and with Kamala and Vicetas posturing to be governor, the state will remain broke if they continue with the plans that they have. So I just hope you keep that in mind. The county's spending $7 million on our homeless, and we're going to spend $7 million on a really nice park. I lived through being in San Jose when 87 wasn't built until I moved when I was an adult. San Jose made it. We'll make it if we could do this another time, Do we have the ability to say monies are going to come in down the road? No, because gas taxes are turning into mileage taxes now. And that project has started because half of us have electric cars. So I hope that you consider objecting to this project in any way or to put the veterans first. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Bring it back to council. Brian, I'm going to ask you a quick question. Jan Alvin mentioned that. I did make a comment about that, and then you corrected me. I read the schedule wrong, right, basically, about the funding for the pickleball, that I thought it looked like it was being pushed out, but actually it's not. So can you explain where we're going to have the funding if we do it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rep. Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director. One of the requirements of the development impact fees is that we have to expend those dollars within 5 years of receipt of it. And so what the budget amount that's shown in the year 527-28 is actually the rest of the Sherwood Park Master Plan, the actual baseball fields. Yeah. The pickleball courts are actually already in the current year budget, and so they're already appropriated. Granted, we're at a shortfall.
Yeah, I see. Very good. Thank you. Councilman Bouch.
Thank you. I think sending out to bid assumes that we're going to get a bid that's lower and would help mitigate some of the overage. One of the solutions for how to solve the overage would be using the ARPA funds from the Vine Street Bridge. Yeah. I would have to be on record saying absolutely not. I would not want to see that. If that's one of the reasons that we would go forward, I wouldn't be able to vote until we identify what we're going to, where those funds are going to come from. Right now, we're hoping that the bids come in lower. I still need to have a discussion on where those funds might come from, whether it's donations, fundraising, grants, and then the other question that wasn't asked is, does the REC Foundation have any part in this or any interest in this?
REC Foundation has not been approached on this project. The original estimate, as Mr. Cornell mentioned, those right. funds are allocated, but again, we're short, you know, millions of dollars.
Yes.
Again, when the bids come back, you'd have the opportunity to either say yay or nay and where the funding will eventually ultimately come from. What we were reflecting in the staff report is where we may have those funds available.
Okay. Good. Okay. Any other? Councilman Strong.
Yeah, and I think Linda George had a little confused. The parking is part of this project.
Correct. The veterans are not impacted by this project
no.
at all.
No, they're not impacted. Actually, they're relieved by this project.
Correct.
Because they're looking forward to this because it is going to be public parking. Right. And when there are parking spaces available, they can use them when they need them. Same thing for the senior center.
Correct.
Because it's right across the street. So, I'm fully in support of going out to bid and finding out where we stand and then looking at how we're going to pay for it.
I wanted to ask another question that I always advocated for the Centennial Courts is lights. Do we have lights involved in this
proposal? Yes, these are lighted courts.
That's got to be huge because it expands the 4 hours in the morning where it's cooler now to the evening, too, and doubles the playtime. It's perfect. So, well done. Okay, any other discussion?
I'm ready to make a motion for you.
Councilman Gregory.
I move that we approve and authorize the pickleball court complex at Sherwood Park to be bid for construction with an estimate of construction cost of $3.4 million.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Gregory and second by Strong. Any discussion?
Quick question. Do we have to state the amount?
Well, that's my question originally, but I believe so. By code, we have to say some sort of a number.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory.
Aye.
Councilmember Strong.
Aye.
Councilmember Bouch.
Regretfully, no, not until we identify where that money's going to come from.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1.
Very good. Okay, moving on to city manager's report.
Just two very brief items. One, this week we welcomed our new IT manager, Kevin Tran. He comes to us from Firestone Walker, so you'll be seeing him around. He's not here this evening, but I'm sure you'll have some interface with him moving forward. We're very happy to have him on board, and I know Ryan is as well. So that's great. The second thing that I wanted just to alert the council on is that yesterday, it's been a long week already. The city announced that it's launched what's called its Pulse Point CPR app. Yep. It's a mobile app that the fire department, our public safety departments are utilizing to inform the public on A, where emergencies are. There's the ability to look at where the emergencies are and get notifications about that, as well as potentially when CPR is needed. And there's a sign up there that folks who are CPR trained can sign up for, and essentially alerts them if there's an emergency nearby where CPR is requested. And they can potentially be the first on scene, maybe before our fire department is, to begin those life-saving measures. So just a reminder to the public and the council that you can download that in the App Store. I'd be happy to share more information if there's interest. Other than that, Mayor, that concludes my statements. Thank you.
I was going to make a motion or a talk, actually, if you don't mind, Randy Harris, if we can get maybe on something on the agenda to bring that up. I missed it in the park. You guys had a big event there the other day on Pulse Point, but it might be good as we take a few minutes, maybe at one of our council meetings, to get it over the air with what really it's all about. Right? Absolutely. Very good. Whenever you can agendize, that's fine. Thank you, Randy. Okay, now we're on to council business committee reports. Who would like to start?
Councilman Road. Basically, Mr. Gregory and I went out to Censario for the unveiling of the new aspect of Censario. And, oh, Mr. Bausch was there too. Well, Gregory and I went together. You were there. Of course you were. And I have to tell you, as most things out there in the daylight, it doesn't look like much, but boy, when the sun goes down, it is amazing. And if you want a great experience, that facility is fantastic. I went to the Safety Fest in the park, chatted it up with some of the police officers and firemen, and Teeter was out there, and helicopter flew over and blew its siren, and everybody was impressed. And I asked the sheriff's department where theirs was. They didn't have an answer for me. And I went to the Pulse Point, even though I was a little bit late. And also, one thing I've asked about is, and I think somebody was going to send me some information on how to get certified in CPR. This app, if you can sign up for the app, not only notifies you for fires and emergency services, but also if you're in an area where there is an issue that someone can be called on that is certified in CPR, I'd sure want somebody that is certified in that to be able to be there for me or my family. So I want to do that for the community. Also, I did volunteer and am going to be out at the 4th of July. And I know it's a two-hour segment, but I've already told them I know they're short in volunteers, so if they need me all day, I'll go out there for all day. So if any of the rest of you want to volunteer to be out there, it might be nice, because I know they're short of volunteers.
Okay. Councilman Strong.
Yes, well, mostly it's my upcoming, because I've got, I'll be out of town next week, most of the week. And that's for up in Sacramento. That's with the National League of Cities. And we will be planning all of our positions on transportation and infrastructure and funding for the following year. And we'll be working on actually writing, helping to write that next ordinance that goes to Congress. And then about a week later, I fly to Atlanta, Georgia, for the national meeting of all of the regional councils of the United States. And again, we'll be working with on regional funding too, for transportation infrastructure. So that will be money, hopefully, more of it coming to us. And that's what we're working on. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Gregory.
Yeah. I missed the last comment period for the last meeting because we were all a little tired. So I'm going to back up a little bit because I covered for this guy next to me for a while, so I did a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing I did is I attended a 100-year-old birthday party, and she was very happy. I got a photograph and several hugs, and that was out at Crescent Village. Mm-hmm. Supplemental appointments for the supplemental tax committee we made. We had two airport ad hoc meetings, and I finalized it for the final one for the next meeting for the council. Senior advisory, supplemental meet tax meeting with the community and the new members. Beechwood Park review, went to HSOC, did LAFCO twice, and went to the Paso Robles. I don't know what that interviews were for Parks and Rec and Senior Advisory also. Youth Commission interviews, Housing Authority, welcome for the new director, Lonnie. And as I was speaking at Censorio, Mr. Bausch was smiling away with his family watching the events going on at Censorio. Mm-hmm. And Sharon and I were out there. It was an amazing event. It's staggering what they're doing. And just to give you an idea, for the weekend, last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, they did 5,200 people in the gates.
Wow.
At $50 a head, they're doing good. And as Ken Hunter said, and he continues to say this, I couldn't do it without my partner, the Paso Robles City. He's very complimentary of the staff here. He feels very ingratiated by us and enabled by us. And then on the other flip side of the coin, he cannot believe, this is beyond his wildest dreams, how busy they're getting. And the dimensions is music and lighting, and it's amazing. And I recommend everybody go out and check it out. And I got a text from Augie, and he said, thank you very much for tonight. That's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Chris.
Hope Augie wasn't driving. two questions that I've had a couple people ask. Do we have a city policy on whistleblower protection? And if so, where is it? They couldn't find it on the website. Can someone find that for me and get it? Send me an email.
Okay.
You understand what I'm asking for?
I understand.
Okay, thanks. And then the other thing that's going around is the resolution to support the Taxpayer Protection Act going to appear on the June 18th agenda.
It is definitely on the to-do list. I don't know that it's scheduled right now for June 18th. If there's further direction, I know the direction was to return to council with that resolution. That's in staff's work plan right now. We have been admittedly working on a few other weighty items for the last few council meetings. So it's in the work plan, it's in the works. I don't think it's scheduled right now for June 18th, but we do anticipate bringing it back probably not too long after that.
Okay, sounds good. Just want to say some thank yous here. On May 23rd, several of us attended the Travel Paso's inaugural Tourism Roundup event. Great event. Thank you, and congratulations to Stacy Jacobs. It was a stellar event. I hope to see more of that in the years to come. Along with council members Gregory and Roden, attended and celebrated Censorio's five-year anniversary in ribbon cutting for Dimensions. Just a spectacular new display by LA artist Hubizcozo. I don't think I'm saying that right. But just a huge thank you and shout out to Ken and Bobby Hunter for their vision and generosity to all of us in Paso Robles, sharing that dream with us. On the 28th, Julie and I had a wonderful meeting with the new executive director of our Paso Robles Housing Authority, Lonnie Wiley. Thank you to Dave and Carol Anderson for sharing their beautiful home, and to the staff and board of the Housing Authority. That being said, to our outgoing executive director, Mr. Dave Cook, thank you for your amazing service. But boy, I sure hope you stay in touch. And then as council member, Gregory said, the 29th, we had amazing interviews. I think it was 16 or 17 for our youth commission. What promise are, I don't know if that's a silver lining to COVID, but boy, those students are just amazing from Cuesta on down. Just great. So looking forward to a great year next year with them.
Okay, thank you. My reports are basically Paso Basin Cooperative Committee. We had that water meeting, and then we also had the Travel Paso. That I think most of us were there at the Margarita Ranch. Very good recognition of what's been going on there and all the folks that are making things happen. Safety Fest, went to that. Also, with the Skills USA Awards, it was at the water park. Also had a meeting with Ms. Wiley from the Housing Authority today, actually, along with a couple of their board, and also Warren was there, too. And she did say that Dave Cook is going to be staying engaged and helping throughout the transition. So, upcoming events. Paso Robles Senior Citizens Advisory Committee is meeting June 10th. Paso Robles Planning Commission meeting is June 11th. Library Board Trustees is June 13th. Paso Robles City Council, we're back here at June 18th, 6:30. And so at this point in time, I'd like to do a little presentation, and if they can bring it up, about what's something that happened 80 years ago that is going to be happening this Thursday morning. And I'll just read it. It's on June the 6th, 1944, the world witnessed a historic event that would forever change the course of World War II. It was known as Operation Overlord, marked the beginning campaign liberating Western Europe from the Nazi Germany. This Thursday morning at 6:35 a.m. marks the 80th anniversary. Next slide. Many of our parents who were there in their late teens and early 20s participated in this war. Very few are alive today to tell the stories which should be remembered so that the history will be not repeated. Howard Copley, who we see here, was a longtime resident of Paso Robles, graduated in King City in 1939, began classes at San Jose State University. 12 days after Pearl Harbor, he volunteered for the United States Navy, where he became part of the elite naval amphibious assault team, predecessor to the Navy SEALs. Howard served in European theater, spending time in both Italy and France. Of the 28 original team members, Howard was one of only two who survived. Howard was awarded 4 Purple Hearts, but the story I remember the most vividly when he told me about this was the time that he had to drive the coxswains. He was a coxswain on the landing craft and Omaha Beach D-Day that morning. What he saw was truly something to behold, and how he dealt with it. Howard settled in Paso Robles after years of after the war, and began a 40-year career banking, specializing in ag business and loans. He was a Pioneer Day chairman, 75 to 76, and he was also a member of the Paso Robles Rotary and Elks Club. Howard was also a member of the Agribusiness Tour Committee for 30 years and volunteered for the Pioneer Museum many times, and truly enjoyed loving riding the trail ride with Paso Robles Trail Riders. Next slide. Staff Sergeant Robert James Bob Rader was born October 9, 1923. In Manchester, Ohio. At 16, he joined the National Guard with his brothers. But when Pearl Harbor attack occurred, he was discovered that he had lied and about his age and was given an honorable discharge. This meant that he was not having to serve any further military service, but he enlisted anyway in the Army once he had graduated high school in 1942. His childhood friend Don Hubler talked him into volunteering for the paratroopers. Bob was one of the 140 original men assigned to Easy Company 506 PIR Parachute Infantry of the 101st Airborne. He was made 3rd Squad Leader of 1st Platoon. This company of soldiers would later become known as the actual Band of Brothers in the HBO's television series. For Raider, D-Day began a little after 1 a.m. as they were preparing to parachute into France behind enemy lines. He was sitting next to his best friend, Johnny Martin, when a shell burst between their heads through the plane. Their plane later counted over 250 hits. Robert, like most of the Easy Company soldiers, lost all of his weapons as he jumped. He landed hard, fracturing 3 vertebrae in his back, but ignored the pain and continued his objectives. Robert made it through the war, earning numerous medals and 2 Bronze Stars. He also was awarded 2 Purple Hearts, but refused them, saying that he was not wounded bad enough. During the war, he lost his close friends Don Hubler and William Dukeman. He named his son Don Dukeman Raider in honor of these men. Don Raider works in our city library today. After the war, Robert came to Paso Robles and worked at the California Boys School and later became a teacher at the Paso Robles School District until his retirement 25 years later. In 2007, Mayor Martin and the City Council dedicated our newly expanded 13th Street Bridge in his memory as a sign of all the lives that he had touched. It is named the Robert Raider Bridge Memorial Bridge. At the dedication, the bridge, nine of his Easy Company folks, Buck Compton, Bill Maynard, Rod Bain, Ed Joint, Bill Wagner, Don Malarkey, and Jack McGrath, Earl McClung, and Shifty Powers, came in. We were very honored to meet them and talk with them. They're all gone now, actually. I don't believe any of these accompanying people are still here. But I thought it'd be important to kind of remember, again, the history of what's happened here and basically how Paso Robles had 2 fine people living among us for so many years that didn't really share their experiences. So if it's okay with you, I believe that, again, they're gone but not forgotten. So I would like to, if would, to go ahead and adjourn in the name of these people, Howard Copley, Robert Raider, and also to understand that we are the land of the free because of the brave. So if we can do that and never forget,
I'll second that motion.
Very good. Thank you, Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress.
Oh, by the way, today is Election Day in Washington, D.C. and various other places, and the Washington Post is proud to announce that illegal aliens are voting today and non-citizens are voting today because the Democrats want to dismantle the United States of America and make it unrecognizable. D.C., the front page of the Metro section, which is 2 pieces of paper today because they're about to go out of business, D.C. set to cast primary ballots. And everywhere incumbents seek to fend off rivals. Now, district voters on Tuesday will cast ballots in the Democratic primary, which could determine a new number of D.C. city council seats. But Trayon White will maintain his seat. He's the guy who thinks the Jews control the weather, because that makes sense to Democrats. And they say that the Washington Post, a generational change, while several incumbents aim to hang on to their seats in local elections. Just amazing stuff. But they very proudly go on to explain non-citizen residents reflect on their votes. This is a headline in the Washington Post on the front page of the Metro sectional. for the first time in D.C., they are eligible to cast a ballot in local races. In local races. Why do they always have to bring race into it? They came to the United States from El Salvador, Ethiopia, and Iran to study, to earn money, to escape violence. And they all found a home in the nation's capital. Now, again, they don't have to be here legally. They don't have to be legal residents. They don't have to have come into the country legally. They're not U.S. citizens, but they care about issues in their communities, including education, health care, free stuff, and affordable housing, free stuff. And for the first time, these non-citizen residents, some of whom lived here for decades and have children who were born here illegally, got to get rid of that anchor baby thing. What kind of suicidal culture has the anchor baby policy? What kind of suicidal culture allows non-citizens to vote in their elections in the nation's capital, no less, of the United States of America? They and what about our, you know, what Washington Post hasn't mentioned, that you don't have to be a legal resident to vote in the elections, because the Democrats are here to destroy the world. They will have a say in how their communities are run. They love that word, communities. They don't know what it means. They're among more than 500 non-citizen district residents. They're talking in one little cluster here, who have registered to vote and have cast their ballots or are headed to the polls Tuesday. They can cast the early ballots and then show up at the polling place today, too. So to pick their representatives for D.C. Council. The voters include 310 registered as Democrats, 169 independent, 28 Republican, and 16 statehood green. That's Communist Party. And Sarah Graham said, the spokesperson for the D.C. Board of Elections. Now, so here they are. They've got illegal aliens and non-citizens voting in Washington, D.C. today. They always lied to us that they would never allow that and they would never be in favor of that, because they lie about everything. You may recall Joe Biden being asked about this a while back, and he lied. I can't do anything about the border because the Republicans are so mean that they just won't let me, Joe Biden, in January.
Have you done everything you can do with executive authority, or is there more you could do? Absent
all I can do.
Give me the power. I've asked for the very day I let it off. Give me the border control. Give me the people. Give me the people to judge it. Give me the people to stop this, to take it work right.
Yeah, House Resolution H.R. 2 would have cleaned it up like that. I just snapped my fingers. Do you have the executive authority? Oh, I can't. I've been trying since day one. He took 90-some-odd executive actions when he became president to undo everything President Trump had done to secure the border. He is a massive, gaping, lying sack of Jewia, and he is oozing dishonesty. In March, he lied to us. Give me the Border Patrol. You control the Border Patrol, you rectal aperture. Give me the judges. They want the judges just to process people into the country. Everybody knows it. Every sane person was against the insane Chuck Schumer Democrat Senate bill that would have formalized and codified the open border and overrun the country with even millions more. Biden in March.
Mr. President, when is an border executive action coming? An executive action on the border.
Count on the border action happened by itself. The passing.
Yeah, it's the Republicans' fault. He is everything he says is the opposite of the truth. Senator John Cornyn yesterday was having none of this executive orders. Oh, I can't do anything. And now he's doing executive actions that he said he couldn't do or would have no effect because the polls have turned against him.
I expect no change. This is all an election year deathbed conversion by Joe Biden. Basically, this executive order, which would be, by my count, roughly the 95th executive order he's issued, does nothing to change the ability to hold people as opposed to catch them and release them. And it actually says the first 2,500 that come across the border get in free, will be released into the interior of the country.
The deathbed conversion, and it's because of the polls entirely. In New York, there is a woman named Allison Esposito, a now retired career NYPD officer, who's running for Congress as a Republican.
Even the city council, the reckless New York City Council, is saying, well, maybe we should put forth some kind of a policy to take renege on sanctuary cities. This is a problem. The problem is, in day one, Joe Biden came in, and with a stroke of his pen, he changed all of the border policies. He ended Remain in Mexico. He allowed Title 42 to expire. He reinstated catch and release. He stopped construction of the southern border wall, and he opened up the border. Okay, this is a very big problem.
Other than that, he's been doing a great job. Allison Esposito, if you're in New York, vote for her.
You had 300 known terrorists cross our southern border in fiscal year 2020 that we caught. That's not about the gotaways, the millions of gotaways that are in our country. We have an incredible problem with these sanctuary cities. We have an incredible problem at the southern border, and criminals are coming over. Illegal fentanyl is coming over. Drugs are, they're killing our people.
The Democrats don't care about that. They don't care about people being murdered by Venezuelan gang members or by Brazilian gang members or the Chinese men coming in by the tens of thousands. That's not a border country. And Biden, who said he couldn't possibly do anything by executive action, today says, I can do this by executive action, because pretty much everything he tells you is a lie. These are extraordinary times. Our country is in grave danger because of sock puppets like Joe Biden and the hand up his chute, which is, I believe, Barack Obama's hand, and the hand of Frank Marshall Davis and Saul Alinsky. They're not on our side.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
So many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy. It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/America or text America to 511-511. Text America to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
With Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal, you can get your choice of a sausage or bacon, egg, and cheese English muffin with small seasoned potatoes.
And with all that for just $3, it really is a proper breakfast, wouldn't you say? Huh? With a light and fluffy toasted English muffin and crispy seasoned potatoes. Go on, Catherine, give it a go.
Okay. Jolly good morning.
Ah, close, love. Grab a proper breakfast with Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal for a limited time.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Select a request English muffin deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combo orders. Single item at regular price. Prices are higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance in Templeton. When it comes to insurance, you need the proper coverage for a reasonable price. Clear tonight and overnight, lows right around 60. Another hot one on your Wednesday, highs in the upper 90s. Thursday, upper 80s, mid-80s Friday. Weather was brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance, 434-3276.
You're listening to the North County's choice for news, talk, sports, and Jukebox Saturday Night. The right choice, KPRL.
AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM, the right choice. The right choice for local news with Chris Garcia.
The Right Choice for Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi, Monday afternoons at 1. The Right Choice for Protecting What Matters, Tuesdays at 12:30 with Barry Fisher. The Right Choice for Sound Off, Wednesdays and Thursdays at 12:30 with Karen Vealy. And The Right Choice for Open Mic Friday, 12:30 till 2 with Al Fonzie. It's all The Right Choice here on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM. Plaza Cleaners in Atascadero and Paso Robles is your local Quality Plus cleaner, and they do it all. Dry cleaning and laundry, pickup and delivery service, Saturday service, and motel service. And they're now open in Atascadero weekdays until 7 and Saturdays until 5 in both locations. In Paso Robles, Niblick Road and the Albertson Shopping Center. And in Atascadero, El Camino Real and the Glen Oaks Plaza. And remember, bring in your American flags and they'll clean them for free. Plaza Cleaners, Atascadero and Paso Robles.
Summer's almost here. Time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackins has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrell, and much more. Come on down to Tackins in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackins Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937.
Touch of Paso, come on down for some home-cooked goodness, the best around. Breakfast and lunch in a little brick house, leaving well-fed, that's what we're about. Touch of Paso in Paso Robles, whether you're passing through or you're a local. Down on Pine Street, the place to go, like Grandma's cooking. Touch of Paso, come see what's cooking at Touch of Paso.
Have you been to NCI Affiliates thrift store locations in Paso Robles or Atascadero? NCI has a large selection of home goods, furniture, clothes, and accessories for all at great prices. They also accept donations of gently used items. Plus, they offer all your postal service needs, including shipping, shredding, and seized candy at their Lanay location in Paso. NCI Affiliates, building partnerships and creating choices since 1979.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
Yes, Joe Biden. Her name was Lincoln Riley before a Venezuelan criminal murdered her. And a Venezuelan's brother is another criminal gang member who's in the country because of Joe Biden. Allison Esposito, again, running for Congress in New York, retired NYPD officer. Allison Esposito.
The biggest thing to take home with this is, you know, it wasn't Lincoln Riley or the people that were killed because of the reckless border policy. It wasn't the NYPD officers that were shot. It wasn't the melees that are happening in Times Square. It wasn't the two individuals killed in my home district in Middletown by someone who was on the deportation list. It wasn't any of that that caused Joe Biden to wake up and say, hey, maybe I should do something about the border. It was an election year.
It's a poll, 67% disapprove. It's the only reason, and this executive action is going to be impotent, just like Joe. Let's go to Steve, calling from Ashburn, Virginia. Steven, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Wonderful show, as always. You're on point with this topic. Here's a question concerning the fourth. Let's say it's a number of 4,000. So we have a quota of 4,000. So how many Uzbeks, how many Venezuelans, Chinese, women with children, terrorists, you know, something like that. If someone comes in and says, oh, I'm sorry, we're done with women and children. You can't come in. But if you are a terrorist, we haven't yet achieved our limit on that. Just tell us you're a terrorist, and then we'll let you in. How insane is that? I feel like you said before, a sane man in an insane society appears insane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's going on. And look, it would be, Steve, it would be racist to ask people where they're from or to calculate the numbers based on whether they're Uzbeks or Chinese communists or whether they're Russians or, you know,